not for me so much as for a friend. She has two networks, a 5G and then a slower type one. She can't seem to get it to automatically go to the faster 5G. It always sort of wants to go to the slower one. Is there a, how would you force it to go to the faster
network? Okay, if she manually goes to the 5G, does it work?
Yeah, but sometimes you know how you get the whole list of things. Sometimes it takes a while for it to sort of show up.
But it does eventually work, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's two different ways you could address this issue. One is if you keep tabbing around into wireless settings, and depending on what operating system version, you have to kind of poke around it there. You'll find where you could change the order of preferred networks, and you could kind of move things around. Or the other thing you could do is just completely forget the 4G network.
How do you forget a network?
If you go into tab around and say wireless settings and options, the wording is different depending on every operating system, and then you get the list of remembered networks, and you could move things around, or you could just plain forget a network there.
Reordering sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, that'd be probably the first step.
I'm going to be a first-time iOS user, in addition to Anna Dresner's book and possibly the Apple Store. What resources would you recommend for learning how to use this blasted touchscreen?
Recognize that there is a steep learning curve, but if you approach it logically, you can do it. Sit down with yourselves and figure out what do you want to learn first. Do you want to learn to read an email? Do you want to learn to read a book? Do you want to learn to dial a phone? Do you want to learn to text? And pick a task and then approach it from there. VoiceOver instructions for learning the VoiceOver commands, I think, are quite good. One of the things that I did after I had mine for a little while was I did the Carroll Center's afternoon
the Apple Monday
iOS. And even at my level at the time, which was a little more advanced than some people's, I did learn some things that I thought were helpful.
Instead of deciding what the task is, don't get caught up in wanting to learn every task, every app there is. Learn how to good navigation, for instance, how do I move item to item, forward an item, backwards an item, how do I read the screen, how do I activate an item. I'm assuming you're going to be using VoiceOver.
Yes.
Okay. So when we talk about using VoiceOver, everything you do is some sort of variation of either a swipe, which you don't know yet, but that's a gesture where you move one or more fingers left or right across the screen, a flick, which is the same thing going up or down, or a tap. So if you could get that idea into your head that all you really need to know is a few basic gestures and associate those gestures with an action, for instance, well, if I swipe to the right, I move forward one item. If I swipe back to the left with one finger, I just move backwards an item. So once you get comfortable with that, then you have the skills in your, already in your head to go ahead and explore any of the items you find. It could be the mail app or the contacts, phone, whatever. I like to rely heavily on basic fundamentals as far as just learning basic gestures first, yeah.
The best website for issues to find out information about accessibility about the iOS, whether it's iPhone or Mac or iPad, is applevis.com, applevis.com. They have a lot of podcasts. If you can find a friend who already knows how to use the iPhone, the thing about the iPhone is once people use iPhones, you can't get them to shut up about it. Everybody wants to tell you their favorite app on the iPhone, so ask people and they'll help you out a lot. You won't be able to shut them up.
One of the things I found helpful once I got the basic gestures down was to go into the practice mode that VoiceOver has, because at first, what I was finding is that when I thought I was doing one thing, I might be doing something different. And when you get into practice mode, even if you don't like what you're hearing, you're going to know exactly what you have done. And that can be a very useful thing in helping you make sure that when you think you're flicking, you're actually flicking. When you think you're sliding, you're actually sliding. When you think you're tapping, you're actually tapping. So in addition to all of the other really good suggestions that you've got here, I think that practice mode can be your friend.
And you can't make a mistake and mess up your iPhone in practice.
That's right.
There's a group out of Houston, but people across the country are in it, called iBug. And the website is ibugtoday.com. And one of the things that they offer is a mentoring program for new iOS users. It can be, obviously, the in-person is more for people in Texas, but for people outside of Texas, people can meet over the phone or like Zoom or what have you. And the point of that program is like 2 to 3 months, depending on how quickly people go. But the point is to get people up and running with iOS. And full disclosure, I'm one of the mentors for that program. But basically, you know, going along with what others have said, the basic, like I had a mentee who I met with over Zoom. And, going with what Frank had said first, we started out with the gestures. But then we kind of moved. We have, you know, proficiencies in the program, you know, teaching you, making sure you know how to, you know, answer and disconnect a phone call, making sure you know how to create a contact and send an email and download an app from the App Store and such. But all these things, I can tell you, I mean, at least when I was doing, when I was working with a mentee, you know, I framed it, as others have said, in terms of a task. Like, let's practice this task in the case of what something that you might be interested in doing. So, you know, it would have to be over the, you know, phone or via Zoom or Skype or whatever, in your case, obviously. But if you're interested, that could be, you know, someone on one, and it's free. So at ibugtoday.com, there's a mentee program application that you can just fill out.
Probably one of your best resources is this group. I mean, virtually everyone here has an iPhone, or I think most people have iPhones. So if you have a question, just ask.
We've had a bunch of iBug meetings on the iPhone, and I think we had some initial training sessions that we had under the training link, a resource page with a bunch of iPhone resources too.
I have a question about Gmail. I'm on a million mailing lists, and I get easily several hundred messages a day. Does anyone know how to filter those out so that they go into a separate folder in Gmail? I've not figured it out.
Are you accessing it through the website, or are you doing it like through Outlook or something like that?
So I either get my email on my iPhone, or I go online to the website and get it.
So there is a filters command. I don't know if you've tabbed around enough in the settings there to find where it does say set up filter in Gmail. It's a little tough to find.
I tried that.
I can't seem to find it. I don't know if it's because I'm running Gmail in basic HTML view.
If you're trying to find a setting in Gmail and you don't know where it is, log into Gmail in the web interface, minimize that window. Don't close it. Go to an open search page, bring up your browser again, I guess a regular Google search page, search for the setting. So type in your search term, how to set a filter in Gmail. Look through your search results. One of them should be a help document that tells you how to do that. And usually in that help document, there's a link right to where that setting is. And since you logged in, it'll take you right to your settings.
I did do that in Outlook a few times, largely because there was a JAWS discussion list that was generating 70 or 80 messages a day.
Yep.
And I found that the filter worked very inconsistently. It would capture some of the messages and wouldn't get all of them.
And the email list, you have to be very careful, because sometimes the send to address and the send from address are different, and you kind of have to be real. Sometimes you have to create two rules just for the same email list. Yeah.
I can confirm right now it is possible to do filters from Gmail in the basic HTML view. I have it up on my phone. There's a settings link shortly after the beginning of the page in the upper right corner, and you've got general accounts, labels, and then filters for links and settings. So if you go to filters, there's a button at the bottom for creating a filter.
So did you go into general and accounts, or did you just go past that?
If you pull up settings, general won't be a link because you're already on that tab, right. Then you've got accounts, labels, and filters.
So that's the answer. So it's under settings, and you keep on going down until you get to filters.
I'm trying to get my messages on the web. I hate thread discussions. I like to read my message individually. I was reading the help file on how to do that. You know, that you're supposed to go to standard view and then look for something called the gear and then look for conversations and then, you know, like turn threads on or off or whatever. Problem is, I'm not seeing that gear feature. Like when I go to standard view.
Okay. When I say go to the gear, there's nothing that says gear. A gear is a visual thing on a screen. It looks like a gear. So that really is like your settings. So I don't know, JP, you still have that page open?
Before that gear, it says 1 to 8 of 8, which is number of messages in my inbox. There is previous and next for messages. To the right of that is a button that looks like a gear. If you press that, it pops up a little I don't know what it shows up as in a screen reader.
How will the screen reader read it? Because
the label is not gear, I can tell you that. But if you go past the fold, the next and past, there's another button there, and it may actually just say settings or something like that. I forget what
I
it does.
I went to settings, but I don't see anything that tells me what to do with the conversations.
It says settings on here if I were to talk back. So it should show up as settings.
I think it does say settings, if I remember right. But, and under settings, which subheading is it under? Is it under?
It'll just be under general, which is what comes up.
Okay,
pull up settings.
Gotcha. Okay, you go into settings, and then you go into general, and it's under that heading here.
I don't see the subheading that would tell me how to turn off or how to make the messages individual.
That's labeled conversation view.
Conversation view.
I think it's got two radio buttons.
Yeah,
one's conversation view off. Or on the other one's conversation view off.
It may be a checkbox, maybe a radio button, depending on what screen reader. So I try either checkbox or radio button. Yeah. One hint too, if you're using Windows 10, those Google screens read very well with Narrator. Just to do the settings, I found that works very well.
Yep. So I just looked. It's a radio. They're radio buttons to turn the conversation view on and off. It's in a table. So like if you're using JAWS, for instance, if your smart navigation is on, the left column will say conversation view, what have you, and then you can just right arrow, and that takes you to the radio buttons. If you're finding it tricky, you can just temporarily turn off the smart nav with JAWS key and X. But yeah, they're radio buttons, and they are accessibly announced, just so like yours, would the on radio button checked, would now be checked, and you have to just check the one that says off.
I have a Victor reader, the old Victor reader, actually. I was trying to record something, you know, like between the Victor reader and the computer, and I used the regular patch cord for the sign-in, and it didn't record very well. Is there a type of...
The old Victor reader stream, I think, has a microphone-level output. If you're plugging it directly into a computer, you'd need to get what's called MARTA, an attenuated patch cord.
Would I also be able to hear what I'm recording?
Yes, it's because, yeah, as long as you plug something into the headphone jack, yeah, of the stream, yeah.
The stream, the one right before the Trek, that one does have a record. You use the microphone jack, but then there is an audio source in the recording settings.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
right.
So you can select the line in source.
Yeah, you can. And if you do that, you can then just use a regular patch cord.
Yeah, I've done
but
that.
But she's got the old stream. That's for the new stream, I think.
And with the new Victor reader, I can use a regular patch cord, is that it?
Yeah, if you got the new Victor reader stream, that has a line in setting MARTA, so then you could use just a regular patch cord.
Correct.